Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Dwaraka Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radha Vindavaneshwari Krishna Sukadevi Pranama. Banta Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhupya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have a big honor and privilege today to speak about one of the most prominent Vaishnavas in our sampradaya, probably the most important for us, and that's Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So today is appearance day of His Divine Grace of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and since I just want to ask you if you can switch your mobile phones or put on silent or something like that, it would be easier for everybody, otherwise we have a microphone right here. Thank you. Sorry? It's okay. Okay. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is probably the most important acharya for us, for our spiritual heritage, because he is actually the one who gave us his pure mercy opportunity to take a glimpse of this transcendental service. He is the one who is the first who start preaching on the West, actually. He is the one who gave idea for the whole this movement to grow up all around the world. That's why we have to glorify Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the full opulence, because without his presence, without his mercy, we will not be able today to sit here on the Holy Dham, to chant, to worship the Lord, even we will not be able to know about Lord Krishna at all. So, one more time, I want to tell Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. Today, I was thinking for the last 2 days what I'm supposed to present you here, because you probably already know so many details from the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so many glories of him. So I will just give a short glimpse, a short sketch from his days in his later life, and then after that I will come back on some details that maybe many of you are not familiar from his personal life, from his childhood, from his early age, and you know, from his middle years. There are some very interesting and fascinating details from that part of his life. So, as you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his later age came here, came to Navadvip. Navadvip means nine islands. He was residing in Swarup Ganj. Even today you can go and visit his house. The place where he was residing is there. It's present, his bed, everything is there, the whole paraphernalia. Thanks to his dedicated servant and disciple Krishna Das, who was the one who was serving him for the last part of his life, and he's also his glory that he saved that place. He, you know, prevented that place to keep residing in original form, how we can see it even today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually, he lived in the 19th century, and without his mercy, most probably the old Vedic knowledge, Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything what we know today about Lord Chaitanya, about Hare Krishna movement, and about basically about Gaudiya Vaishnavism will be forgotten. He's the one who re-established this kind of worshipping. He's the one who re-established the memory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was almost forgotten 200-300 years after Lord Mahaprabhu showed up his presence on this planet. And he's the one with whose mercy today we can read all those glories. So, of course, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur has many children, and the most famous child is his son, Naishika Brahmachari, spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the one who put seed of bhakti in the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who support him his whole life almost, you know, to maintain his service, to become sannyasi, to dedicate his life to spreading this movement all over the world and all over the India, and who gave him the full support and courage. You don't hear so many fathers who are completely convinced that their children has to be a brahmachari, a vaishnava, a sannyasi, and fully support him in that. You know, and he was actually the pure, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the pure example of ideal father, ideal husband, ideal preacher, ideal servant of the government also. He was working in government service. He was basically the best example of grihastha we have in the history. And that's why we have to take his example and to follow. Srila Prabhupada one time mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually personification of preaching. What does it mean? He was a perfect preacher. He was the one who finished high schools. He was the one who gained the karmic knowledge and who gained as well at the same time the spiritual knowledge. And he could face with all, you know, famous pandits in that time, as well as with the famous scientists, with the famous preachers. Even he was equal in discussion with all these big gentlemen from England who was residing here in that time, in the 19th century. And most of them, they accept him and his way of expressing things. He accept him on one very wonderful way, and he accept also this path as a relevant and recognized path of service to the God, the Krishna, right? That's his glory. He was the complete Vaishnava. He was the complete Vaishnava. He could do everything. His mystical power was that he was a full-time grihastha almost all his life, and unless the last period of it. In the same time, he was doing a full-time service until his age of 45. He was doing service for government in so many different places around the West Bengal and in Orissa. In the same time, he wrote almost 100 books, different books regarding, you know, Vaishnavism, and not just Vaishnavism. He was very interested in history, very interested in geography, very interested in all different kinds of science. And he wrote more than 1,000 poems, songs. He's, in other words, he was working 24/7. His daughter, she mentioned in the diary that he was sleeping only for 2.5 hours per day. Basically, that was something what Srila Prabhupada did in the later age also, and something what is very difficult to reproduce, to copy. We can try for 7 days, for 10 days, even sometime for, you know, like 2 weeks, but then mind will collapse. It's not about the body, it's about mind. You know, body is the one who can survive. Mind is the one who can't. Unless we don't have the full control over the mind. Well, that's one more proof that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had completely a full control over his mind, and you know, he was dedicated the rest of the day, that means 21 and a half hour, just for, you know, for service towards his family, towards society, towards movement, and towards his personal devotional development. He is known also as the Seventh Goswami. You probably, many of you saw that book, The Seventh Goswami, right? It's very, very nice, very beautiful book. It's the whole life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is the book. He's there, all explanations, all small details. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote his autobiography also, and his life is documented on many different books. Basically, we know all, even the small details from his life, because they're matching in different scriptures, and they're all somehow, you know, they're all very detailed explaining in those different books. So it's not that we're talking about some legend, about some mystery. We're talking about facts here. And he has many facts that he proved that he was very special, and then he was a pure Vaishnava of the Lord. So, Shishir Kumar Ghosh was the editor and founder of Amrita Bazar Patrika, and that was the publication house that Bhaktivinoda Thakur published at least 30% of his works. And he said he was very familiar with the Vedic scriptures, and he read a lot of works from Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he mentioned one time, I never saw in my life Six Goswamis, but I know one thing for sure. If there could be anywhere the seventh Goswami in the world, that will be you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he is the one actually who first mentioned that, the seventh Goswami, and after that he got famous around. This is not a term from present age, it's a term from that time, since he was present on the planet, that he is a seventh Goswami. So many scholars, they know him also as the seventh Goswami, as somebody who did amazing job to keep and to develop Vaishnava heritage. The same, basically, you know, heritage what Six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were trying to present and to develop. So he's born on the 2nd September 1838, means 19th century, and that was a Sunday. That day was Sunday in the ancient village of Bir Nagar. Today we know this, that village is Ular, or Ulargat. And that's also part of District Nadia. So basically Bhaktivinoda Thakur is born in District Nadia, not far away from here. It's much closer to Shantipur, but also it's not far away from Mayapur as well. It's probably around 20-22 kilometers from here. As I know, if somebody is from here, he can correct me, but as I'm from Ula, it's like 22 kilometers from Mayapur. So he was the third son of his father and mother. His father's name was Ananda Chanda Das, and mother was Jagat Mohini Devi Dasi. They both, father and mother, they belonged to aristocratic, very rich families, very famous families in that time. And there is explanation that grandfather, the father of his mother, he was very famous for his opulence. They had a very, very big house. They have almost 100 servants. You know, including maids, gardeners, everything around. So basically, it's written that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, it didn't take for so long. It didn't take, you know, since he was age 15 or 16, that fortune somehow was lost and disappeared. So he was going through all different turbulences and phases in his life. But his childhood, he spent in opulence, that's true. So his mother was the one who was the main figure in his early life. His father was mostly residing in Orissa. He was employed there, and basically it's written that he saw his son first when he was almost 2 years old. That means he didn't come so often home. He was very, very busy, and he was very much employed in Jagannath Puri, near Jagannath Puri actually. And his mother, he was raising, trying to raise up all her children on her own, helping with maids and another relatives who were around. And up to age 9, basically, first he was going in one school in their village. Then after that, he figured out that him and his brother, they figured out that school was not good for them because there was one very heavy teacher, and you know, he was like, they called him Mr. Stick, somebody who was trying, you know, who was beating children a lot. And their grandfather, because you know, they could afford, you know, something better, they bring one nice English gentleman to their house, and he opened a homeschool for first two brothers. Then after that, the more kids joined. They came and they had that school in their house. It was one big classroom, and they did all education over there. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur was age 9, he started first of the serious question, important question in life, started to came up on his mind. What is all this about? What is the life? Why we are born? What is the point of life? And that time he started reading Mahabharata, Ramayana. He started reading also one or two Puranas, Ananta Purana, as I'm informed. And there was age 9 when he started first chanting, actually. He chanted the name of Ram. And there is a funny story how he started chanting. One day he was hungry, and it was almost night, it was dusk. So there was a little bit far away from their house, there was one small wooden house, very old house. And that was actually the storage for all different kind of fruits. And he wanted to take one special kind of very sweet fruits, you know, he really had a big desire. But he didn't know how to go there, because there was a story that there is some great ghost of some lady is residing there in that wooden house. So during day you can enter there, but night time nobody go there. You know, it was forbidden for anybody to go there. But somehow, you know, desires sometimes are very strong, even stronger than ghosts. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that time, Kedranath, he was trying to find a way how to reach his sweets. And then he asked his mother, and his mother told him that when you have those kind of subtle creatures going around, you have to chant the Lord of Ram, the Lord Ram's name. And then they're afraid of that name, and they will stay away from the place. At least, she mentioned, at least 10 meters around, you will not have anybody to disturb you. And then he started intensely chanting name Ram, Ram, oh Ram, 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 Ram. He was going in that house, he opened the door, it was like squeeze, and then he started Ram, Ram. He mentioned, he started chanting silently, he afraid. But somehow everything went fine. He took his sweet fruits, he came out, he ate, and that's what actually the moment where he started to believe that the Lord really can help and protect. I mean, for us maybe sound funny because of sweet fruits, devotion towards the Lord, but for 9 or 9 year old child, that's serious. One simple small event helped him to, for the rest of his life, he believed that Krishna can help him. And he never didn't left the name of the Lord Ram later. You know, he started to research more, he read Ramayana more intensely, and then he started to preach everybody, because he was born, he was a natural preacher. He started to preach his friends that Lord Ram can help you always. Any difficulty, any obstacle in your life, please chant the name of Lord Ram. Then there is also a story of the moon where his mother took him one time in Krishnagar for some, they was doing some shopping, simple shopping there. And he saw, it was already night came, and he saw the moon. And then next night when he came back, Itula, to their place, he saw the same moon again. But in that time he was thinking that there, each village has different moon, its own moon. You know, it's because projection is that moon is very close, so probably each village has its own moon. Then he was thinking about that. He didn't ask anybody that evening. He was just sitting there for 2 hours and he was thinking. And then he realized again, it must be connected with Lord Ram somehow. And then, because Lord Ram is great, probably there is no many moons. There is only one big moon somewhere very far away. And then tomorrow he checked with his teacher, and his teacher told him, yes, there is only one moon. Everywhere you go, the same moon will follow you. So he asked him, does that mean that everywhere I go, the Lord Ram will follow me? He told him, oh yeah, you can go wherever you want. Your Ram will go together with you. Don't worry. Then he was like very pleased and very happy, and you know that was also one very interesting story from his childhood. He got married when he was 12, and his wife was 5 years old. So this is in that time, you know, that was the custom. You know, it very often the families that they marry children in early age to avoid a certain difficulties later, right? Actually, to manage it, they're sure and secure that, you know, all everything in the family is going in the right direction. And his mother, she chose the girl, and they make the whole celebration. It was serious, you know. I mean, many people went to the house of the bride, and there was the whole marriage ceremony was going on. But you know, Thakur later explained that everything looked like a doll game. You know, when you play with dolls, then you put, you know, like bride, husband and wife, you put flowers. So, you know, there was kids, there were children. But somehow he took that seriously, and he didn't leave, of course, his wife until she didn't leave her body much, much later. They had the children and everything. When she was age 12, she moved together with him in Calcutta, and they started living. Until that age, she stayed at home with her parents. But officially she was married, right? And sometimes it's not bad to think about all those things, you know, how can help us maybe to prevent some of events around us. It's actually useful to check all those customs from before and to see how practical it could be for our development of our society. Anyhow, in the age of 14, his material uncle, the famous Bengali poet Kashi Prasad Ghosh was his name. And even today you can find some of his books here and there around. He was uncle of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He came to visit them, and when he spoke with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he figured out, oh, this boy is special. There is something special with this boy and something different than the other children. So what he did, he asked him different questions from the literature and different scriptures, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote down everything nicely, and then he gave him a mirror as a present. And he told his mother, you know, this boy is really special, you should give him a higher education. You know, you should not keep him just in this village, he has to go further, higher. Please send him to me to Calcutta. So basically when he was age 14, he went to Calcutta and he started studying different science, he started studying history, he started studying geography, he started studying English language, he became a very famous as a copywriter. You know what is copywriter? Somebody who is writing different English books, different English documents and everything else. He helped many Bengalis in that time to write English, to write, you know, different things, what they're supposed to write. And there one more thing happened in his life, because he was surrounded with all those, you remember, in that time it was a British rule all around. There were many British people, you know, who was actually the India was a colony in that time. So, but they all were gentlemen. It was not occupation. They were trying to help people here, and they were trying to organize things, of course. They were trying to enjoy as well at the same time. But somehow, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got many friends between English gentlemen in that time. And one of them even trained him and teach him how to write better, how to understand things better. He informed him about all different achievements which they had in Europe in that time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur started also reading Bible at that time and Quran. time, and he started to believe in more and more in Jesus Christ. So he became basically a Christian. And for a couple of years, he really believed and he preached all around that, you know, Christianity is actually the path. And that's all was going on for the 4 years until he was not age 18. Then he got realization again that, you know, what is when he read first time Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, then he got realization actually that the highest knowledge is still in the Vedas. Why I'm mentioning this? Because I told you I compare Bhaktivinoda Thakur with all of us beginning today, and he is the perfect example. So he was going in his life through all these different stages. Even he mentioned in one scripture that he tried eating, you know, some things which we don't eat today. And he mentioned later that it made him to realize better. He got a strong realization, practical realization, that Vedic knowledge is actually everything. And it's good for most of us, we didn't grow up in the Vaishnava families, and we also have similar experience going through different phases, Christianity, atheism, or whatever. And it's nice to compare. It's good always to compare. And then you got realization, you figure out that there is nothing higher than Vedic knowledge. And Vedic knowledge is everything. All Bibles, Qurans, and everything else you have in the Vedas. And much more. And that was his greatest realization. When he turned 18, he was convinced. And any other Western scholar who came later, anybody else could not convince him anymore that, you know, Christianity or anything else is higher. He respected all his life, but he, from that time, he always believed in the Vedas. That was one more thing. And when he wrote the first Vaishnava book, he sent first few copies to America also to some famous philosophers in that time. So basically he was the first one who tried to preach on the West. He was first one who tried to break this wall between Western and Eastern world. He was one of the first who tried to present Vedic knowledge to the Western philosophers. So many how to say it, pundits later, they compare Bhaktivinoda Thakur with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well. Why? He was, you know what is a Nyanya? Or I don't know, is it proper pronouncement? Nyaya, okay, sorry. Nyaya. Nyaya means it's somebody who is very much skilled with the logical explanation. A logician. So the most famous Nyaya in this area was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years back. There was nobody else who could sit together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and discuss about spiritual topics. He was always the one who was the winner. And that was he accepted the advice of his mother. Even another relatives didn't agree with that, few of them. And there was a very not so far away, but close village, there was talk about one very special girl who had, you know, ability towards spirituality, who is very, it's different than another girl's, and her name was Lalita. So his mother, she went there and she checked, and after she saw the girl and she spoke with her parents, they agreed to make a agreement, arrangement, and they took Lalita for Kedarnath, they took Lalita for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and she became his second wife. Her name later was known as Bhagavati Devidasi, Bhagavati Devi, actually, Bhagavati Devi. And she was very, very famous, almost, you know, famous Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with her austerities and her way of living and her way of following her husband in all different... he was supporting Bhaktivinoda Thakur fully in his spiritual path. So he was the personification of a perfect wife. So basically, we want to find the perfect couple in our sampradaya. There is no better example than Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhagavati Devi. They are something what we all devotees for Grihasthas has tried to achieve. And for brahmacharis, the goal has to be the level of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I didn't say it's possible to achieve that level, I just said the goal has to be there. It's always nice to have high goal, then somehow, you know, it will help us to achieve, you know, to go highest as possible. So Bhagavati Devidasi, in her later age, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur left the family life and he decided to renounce, she was very famous for her eating habits. She was eating only that many seeds of rice, you know? How many rounds she chanted that day. So if she chanted 40 rounds, she took the 40, how you call it? Grains of rice, yes, sorry, grains of rice, she took the 40 grains of rice, she boiled that, and this is for the whole day. That was her austerity, and she did for a couple of years, not just for a couple of days or 1 month or something like that. She was very special Vaishnavi. She was fully absorbed in the holy name. In her last 10-15 years, she was just chanting the holy name. She didn't have any other service by chanting the holy name, with her japa, sitting and chanting. That's it. She was also pure devotee of the Lord. Bhagavati, somebody compared her with Gangamata Goswamini in Jagannath Puri. They compared that she was a very similar character and she almost achieved the same height as Gangamata Goswamini in Puri. So anyway, after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he finished some high school and he became the deputy magistrate. Deputy magistrate was very high position at that time. He was like a court person. He was making decision, you know, something like police, you know, the chief of police and chief of court in the same time. Basically, you can control things, you can make decisions, you can change people's life. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very famous by everywhere he shows, and he changed more than 10 different places, 10 different locations. Everybody loved him. It was amazing how much he helped different people. He didn't start his service until he don't visit all houses of people living in one village. That's a very good example for us and our managers, you know, how we can really help devotees. That means he was going visiting one by one house, talking with people, asking about their needs, checking, you know, what they want and do they have any problems. And then after he became familiar with the situation, then he will sit on his post and he started performing his service. He was basically a wonderful deputy magistrate. And that's why they want him on many different places in the same time. Basically, he could choose where he's gonna go. That's why he decided later to go in Krishnagar, because it's very close to Navadvip, and Navadvip he started to research in the age of 44. When he was age of 30, in 1868, he was appointed as deputy minister for Dinajpur. Dinajpur is very important for Bhaktivinoda Thakur because he first time in that 1968, in the age of 30, he starts seriously to consider a Vaishnava path as a path for his life. There was Araj Sahib Kamala Lochan. He was the person who was in charge for the whole place, and he was very famous Vaishnava of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was even descendant of Ramananda Basu, and Ramananda Basu was a great, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he just took all scriptures from Ramananda Basu, and you know, and he collected more. And basically, for the whole day, he was going around talking about Lord Chaitanya, about different devotees, about lilas from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is when Bhaktivinoda Thakur really got taste for Vaishnava service, for Chaitanya Lila and for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that time he actually got the first translation of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was 30 years old. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur read Srimad Bhagavatam first when he was 30 years old. That's another example for us. It's never late, too late, you know, to start, you know, going through spiritual knowledge and to gain knowledge and to go deeper and deeper. It's never too late for Bhakti Shastri course, it's never too late for Bhakti Vaibhava course, it's never too late for anything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he started in age 30 and he wrote more than 70 books after that about Vaishnava education, about Vaishnava knowledge and everything. So, 1968 also he wrote the first devotional poem, and the name of that poem was Sachitananda Prema Lankara. After that poem they start calling him Sachitananda. You know, Sachitananda means one who embodies eternity, knowledge and bliss. That's the time when he became famous as Sachitananda, and many people in that time after that poem calling him, oh, there is Sachitananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or in that time Kedarnath. So later that name remained as a part of his name. So even today we mention Sachitananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right? It's like a part of his name. That means that he is eternally in the knowledge bliss in eternity. Later he wrote Krishna Samhita in 1880. Then 1881 he went with his wife and his child to Vrindavan, and that's the time when he first met Jagannath Das Babaji. So he met first time with Jagannath Das Babaji in Vrindavan, 1881, and immediately before that, for the 3 years he was really trying, researching who could be the possible guru for him. He still was not initiated, he was, you know, almost, you know, 35 years old, which is not young age. So he had a need, desperate need for guru, but all present gurus in that time was not somehow enough pure and bona fide for him. So when he went to Jagannath Puri and he met Jagannath Das Babaji, he immediately became attracted with him. And he started talking to him, and Jagannath Das Babaji, he recognized the big potential of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he recognized that possibly he could be somebody who can do a lot of things in Navadvip and to, you know, re-establish the knowledge of Lord Chaitanya again. So what they did after all those conversations, all those days, they decided Jagannath Das Babaji will reside 6 months in Mayapur, 6 months in Vrindavan. So after that time, Jagannath Babaji came first time after a long period of time back to Navadvip. And he became the main guru in Navadvip city, Navadvip town, same Navadvip which is today. And he is the one who helped Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you know, to re-establish, to find different places, the holy places around in this area here. In that time, all people believe that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is born in Navadvip, today's Navadvip there. Even there was one house over there, when everybody was praying and telling, okay, this is the house where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is born. This is the house where, Sachimata delivered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then somehow Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not convinced. So what he did, he really started to research. And he researched more. Even when he was 45 years old, he moved to Navadvip. He asked for service in Krishnagar, so he became deputy magistrate in Krishnagar. Even today, if you go in a famous FRO office, you know where is FRO office, right? So there, this is, that was the magistrate, and they had even some documents, they told me, they didn't show me, they just told me, from 18th century all up to today. They told me there are many documents signed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, that he made decisions and everything else. You probably saw those old books on their shelves in FRO all around. So some of those books are also written from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And probably nobody didn't open those books in that time. So I check also with Harishari Prabhu, who is doing a wonderful service in Calcutta, you know, to keep oral heritage, all original letters, original papers from that time. They have also, he showed me one nice letter which the daughter of Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote to him, to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they also have one piece of paper written originally by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they're trying to research now more, trying to find the more things. There is one big collection in Calcutta, they have one big collection, but they don't want to allow us to have anything of that. They want to keep, you know, another month. I don't want to speak about details, but it's interesting. There are many, actually, you know, documents from the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur still keep, you know, in the good condition, very good condition. So he came here in the age of 45, and he became a deputy magistrate. He wanted to retire in that time, and his desire was actually to go to live in Vrindavan. He wanted to go to be next to Jamuna River, to make some kind of small kutir, with one of his friends to stay there just to speak about Krishna Lila and just to chant and not do anything. But then one day when he did all preparations and everything, one day he had a dream, and in dream Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he told him, you know, you're very, it's very nice that you develop desire to go to stay in Vrindavan and to continue your service there, to perform your bhajan. But there's some thing, there is a job for you I have in Navadvip. So maybe you can go there later, and now I just want you to stay in Navadvip and to do a few things. And I mean, this is my free interpretation. Definitely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke a different way, but you know, essence is exactly the same. It's very similar what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in his autobiography. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he decided to stay in Navadvip, and very soon there one small book came to his knowledge where it was written about many undiscovered holy places here, including the bomb place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he took that as his life mission, to come here and to find all different holy places, to basically to re-establish this place. When he came here, he was residing in Swarup Ganj, as you know, and all this place was just a jungle. There was nothing here. There was just few local people living in this today's area of Bamanpukur village around. Everything else was completely empty. Even Srila Prabhupada came, if you saw some photos, you will see that it's all empty area. You know, some of you, even you remember, you came, you know, early age, early days here. So why I'm telling about this? Because in one of those occasions he was in Navadvip, and when they was going by boat to this side, he saw the big light white temple in the distance. And there are many different interpretations of that. That's why I want to read you just that part, and I will finish today's lecture with that, because it's very important that we all know what was the meditation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that time and how the whole thing happened. That's why I just want to read those few pages, and then after that we'll finish. So. He found of his great astonishment that the town of the western bank of the Ganges, now today called Navadvip, was actually a place of less than 100 years standing. Basically, in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Navadvip was called Kulia, and it was not today's name. It was a very small village with only maybe 100 or 200 people living over there. And that there were still people living there who declared that in their youth they had moved to the new town from the old site at Balaldighi. And Balaldighi site is actually this site, where is today's Mayapur. He also found that this town of Navadvip could not possibly be the site of Lord Chaitanya's appearance because Lord Chaitanya had appeared on the eastern side of the Ganges, eastern bank of the Ganges. And this is actually the eastern bank of Ganges. Furthermore, the elderly villagers of Baldigi even called the area Mayapura in that time. Then, while reading the Bhakti Ratnakar, the Thakur found the following verse which confirmed his discovery beyond a doubt. Navadvipa Madhye Mayapura Namesta Jataya Janmailan Gorachandra Bhagavan. In other words, in the center of Navadvip there is a place called Mayapur. At this place, the Supreme Lord Gorachandra took his birth. This monumental discovery took place toward the beginning of 1888, and it was the landmark even in the history of Vaishnavism. The site of divine appearance of Lord Chaitanya, after being lost for several generations, was again revealed to the world by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Wishing to confirm it even more resoundingly, the Thakur later requested Srila Jagannadas Babaji Maharaj, the head of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community, to come to the site. The aged Babaji, in that time Babaji, Jagannadas Babaji had more than 100, he was more than 120 years old. And this is not just speculation, it's confirmed, because they have some documents since he was born, and it's true, he was older than 120 years. He could not walk, his eyes was closed all the time. They had with hands to open his eyes that he can see around. And he had also one his disciple who was carrying him, you know, all the time around. So everywhere in the basket there was he was carried by his disciple Bihari. Many curious persons accompanied him. He was so old and his eyelids completely covered his eyes. They had to be propped open with his hands if he wanted to see someone. When he was brought to the spot discovered by the Thakur, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy and jumped into the air crying, Eitonimai Janmabhumi! Eitonimai Janmabhumi! Or this is indeed the birthplace of Lord Nimai. Lord Nimai ki jai. So that was actually the time when they bring Jagannath Baba Das Babaji, and that was actually the whole Lila. And before that, three, four people. It's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the only one who saw the big white temple and the white light surrounding the temple. There was three more persons who was on the same boat going, and suddenly they saw the light and they saw the big temple in the distance. So I hear like a couple of years back, I hear the same story, but they told me that he was sitting on Svarup Ganj and he was chanting. But actually here there is the whole explanation that it happened earlier when he still didn't reside here. He was going from Navadvip by boat towards this side, and that's actually the moment, the time when he saw the big temple and big light surrounding. So maybe later happened that again he saw the white temple until he was sitting and chanting, but it's not written in his biography, and I didn't find anywhere. I was trying to find that, but unfortunately I didn't find. So that this is only explanation I found about the white temple and the white. Maybe somebody who knows better, you can tell us. I was really trying to find last 2 days. So anyway, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur left behind us is one big task to us to develop this movement, to continue discovering the holy places around in this area, and to develop, to distribute the holy name all around the world. He was the one who mentioned that holy name with flow the whole world, and it will be chanting in everywhere in the world basically. And he was the one who predict that the movement will come, and then Senapati devotee will come also, and then the glories of the holy name will distribute. So there is another wonderful book, Srila Godruma Kalpatavi, or Desire Tree of the Godruma. There was one newsletter in that time, Srila Godruma Kalpatavi, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote with all different beautiful transcendental subjects, and mostly he wrote in the poem, like it was as a poem. And then Bhakti Charu Maharaj discover few numbers of that newsletter, like 20, 25 years ago, and he gave a couple of copies to His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, and then Jayapataka Maharaj, he wrote the comments on original newsletter, and then we produced, he was giving for almost 10 years different lectures on that topic, and we produced this book, Shri Gaudiya Makalpatavi. It's pure nectar. It's about actually how devotees who live at home can develop Krishna consciousness, how they can be secure, what they're supposed to do anywhere around the world. It's actually written about this holy place and the Navadvip in general, explanation about all different islands. He compare Navadvip as a marketplace. You know, when you go to market, you have all different shelves with fruits, with vegetables and everything else, all different people are selling. When he compared that, actually, what is very important for us here, that Navadvipa, Mayapur is actually like a marketplace. Holy name is not free. You have to come and to buy it. But the currency is not money. You cannot buy with rupees. You have to buy with devotion. So whoever don't develop devotion here, he cannot get the holy name. He can recite forever here. Holy name will not come to him. But if you develop devotion, if you pray to previous acharyas, there is the whole recipe given here. To whom we're supposed to pray, how much, what, which kind of prayers, everything. The whole recipe is like a perfect cake, this book. The whole recipe is here, how we can achieve the holy name. How we can get from the marketplace the holy name of Krishna. It's really wonderful. I feel very bad not to have enough time. I mean, we could speak about Bhaktivinoda Thakur for the days and days and days. But somehow I really had need to share this with you. Even one time, it's not bad. It's very nice to glorify different Vaishnavas, especially if we have their presence available in present time. Radhananda Maharaj mentioned one time that 1970, Srila Prabhupada said that about His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, that he is one of eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually he vowed to develop mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is the one who is pushing really much to find out different holy places around. And we rediscovered probably 25, 30 more places in... Is it that much? 25, 30 locations, they told me? Anyway, this Maharaj, he knows better, you know, Gauranga Maharaj, he knows all those things, but as I inform, like 20 new locations, smaller, bigger, middle, and also, you know, he's trying to develop a Bhakti Vriksha program, which is actually originally came out, the whole idea and everything from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it's great that through present Vaishnavas, through present pure devotees, we can also serve the previous Vaishnavas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and our, like, idea Vaishnava, or founder Vaishnava, who is actually originally Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The whole idea came from him. And that's why today's date is very special for us, and all our prayers has to go in direction to get mercy from the lotus feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to achieve and to gain and to reach the mercy of the holy name of Lord Krishna. And he is the one who definitely can deliver the holy name to us, who can give us a path to achieve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to give us the pure benefit of chanting the holy name. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, all glories to the present Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Do you have any question? I think we just have time for one question, so please. I know it's very late, so whoever has to go, you can go now. I'll give 1 minute, and then after the question will be done.
You mentioned several... Thank you.
Okay.
You mentioned several pastimes of Shri Hakuna Thakur.
Can you try to speak just a little bit louder, please?
You have narrated several pastimes of Shri Hakuna Thakur in his early age.
Yes.
It appears to be very mundane, I mean, from one sense. It appears that, you know, there's nothing much transcendental about those activities, especially, you know, his, I mean, his involvement with maybe Christianity or some other, of course, there is something religious about it. But it appears several activities, that keeping in view that he is supposed to be a Nitya Siddha, that we understand that he is. How do we correlate this, how do we reconcile these two facts that, you know, these acharyas are Nitya Siddhas who are eternally pure devotees of the Lord, but some pastimes appear that, you know, maybe he wasn't a devotee and then later on he became a devotee. How do we reconcile this?
But it's the similar situation basically with all our present acharyas, with Srila Prabhupada as well. He was also going through Hastasham, through different phases and everything else. The point is that pure devotee is always pure devotee, especially that kind of devotees who are sent here to distribute the holy name, who whatever are their activities, whatever they can do, they're doing things on the absolute platform. That means that Krishna is controlling the, you know, happenings. So it doesn't matter what they do. They can do, even, you know, even they can eat meat, they can sacrifice animals, they can do different things. Everything what they're doing is with a purpose. What was the purpose, and what we could learn from those early ages of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life is that even if you are Christian and you're atheist, even if you go through different phases, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur came alone to that stage to accept Vaishnavism, and he did alone research and everything. It's not that it was given through the family. So he was fighting, he was actually, those early questions which came up to his knowledge when he was 9 years old, he was looking for the answers, and he gave us a very pure path that this is only the real way, is actually to find the proper questions and to look for the proper answers. It doesn't matter through which phases we are going. If we are going in that direction, if we are trying to find answers to the right questions, we are going in the right way. And once we achieve those answers, then we have to follow whatever we find out. And actually he gave us for example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is born in the family of pure devotee. He was the pure devotee all his life. He never didn't break principle. He was Naishtika Brahmachari for the rest of his life. So he gave another light in the whole. What you're supposed to do when you're born in devotee family. How you're supposed to behave, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to live. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave another side of the matter. What you're supposed to do if you're not born in devotional family. How to achieve, how to gain. So actually on the absolute platform, everything on our dust are just atoms, even from this point of view of science. They're just atoms, it's just outside, you know, material energy of Lord Krishna. It's no different than Krishna. Everything on our us, including mosquitoes, everything is just material energy of Krishna controlled by different souls, by their desires. So from the absolute level, when you're on the pure platform, everything is pure. Whatever we do, if we have meditation on Krishna, is no different than service for Krishna. And sometimes, for us, it's very difficult just to believe. We have to realize knowledge. We have to see and practice that. And we are not perfect example, but if pure Vaishnavas come and show us the perfect example, then we can believe in that. And that's why everything what they do, they just do to show us the perfect example in their life. And that's why I believe that Krishna make happening in such a way that he was going through similar phases like we all go in our early age, and he show us actually the way how we can achieve still to become pure devotees, what is supposed to be the ultimate goal for all Vaishnavas. That's my understanding, my belief, and I'm sure you could get much better answer from the, you know, more senior Vaishnavas and older Vaishnavas, so please forgive me, it's not perfect. If you want to add something on this, maybe for Prabhu's understanding.
One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada the same question about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's early life. And he said, I can't remember exact details, but as far as I can remember, he said that because he was born in that situation, his parents were Shaktas, they weren't Vaishnava actually, so he was just born in that situation, so he just grew up in that. But he said, but as soon as he found out about Vaishnavism and the correct behavior, I think immediately it changed, and that was it. His whole life it was just the way he was brought up. That was the style of life. But the moment he found out, then immediately.
There is explanation when Bhaktivinoda Thakur read the first time Chaitanya Charitamrita. He started a little bit to believe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he read the second time the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, and everything happened in 1 month, that means he was reading all the time, he started to believe fully in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he read the third time Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote the first book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can imagine how fast the process was going. That means that seed was already there, and the full pure meditation and devotional service was already there in his heart. And that's, you know, it's just easy to pump and to blow like a lotus, a few lotus. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.